prayer as it's found in King James in Matthew 6. And if you have the King James, see if it's right. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. And the portion tonight that I wanted to bring to your attention is the fourth petition. Give us this day our daily bread. I analyzed it, and I've been analyzing this portion for several weeks now, and basically it is in two parts. There is the Godward part and the manward part. There are three petitions Godward, and there are three petitions manward. And we have completed the Godward petitions, and tonight is the first manward petition, which is, give us this day our daily bread. And the first thing that I notice is this: how much is revealed about the one who is praying and what he prays by the words contained in his prayer. Now think, if we are praying the Godward part, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We are confessing that God is holy. Thy kingdom come, that God is a ruler and has a kingdom. Thy will be done, that he has a will, but it's being opposed. You see all that we've learned about God just by praying those words. Now, listen to the manward petition and see what you learn about man by praying the words that Christ taught us to pray. Listen. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Listen to the first petition and see what it reveals about us. Give us this day our daily bread. Do you know what you confess when you pray that to God? That you are a creature, that you are mortal, that you are dependent upon the product of nature to remain alive. Isn't that remarkable? Give us this day our daily bread. Why? Because if you do not have that which the earth produces, if you do not have food, you're going to die. The Savior said, man does not live by bread alone, but if he does not have bread, he's going to die unless there is a miraculous sustaining by God. And only I know, in the case of our Savior and in the case of Moses, did he miraculously intervene when they did without food and drink for 40 days. But you remember concerning yourself that when you pray, give us this day our daily bread, you're confessing that you are mortal, you're confessing that you're dependent upon what grows out of the earth, and that if you do not receive that physical bread, you're going to die. Isn't that humiliating? And yet, we have confessed that we are creatures, whereas we confess that God is the Creator, our Father which art in heaven. You see, we're on earth, and we are sustained by that which is produced by the earth. And God is holy. And listen to the second petition. And forgive us our debts. That tells us that we are fallen creatures, that we sin, and when we sin, we run up a debt to God that we cannot pay, and only He can forgive. You see what you've said then? You've spoken about your dependency upon God, your being finite and dependent, and you've spoken about your being a fallen, sinning creature that needs to be forgiven. And then it says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It means that you can be attracted by the lure of this world, by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and the same God to whom you pray to sustain you with bread, the God to whom you pray to forgive you your debt, you pray for God to sustain you through life, to keep you from sin. So now think of that. In this short prayer that our Savior taught us to pray, we are completely humiliated in the presence of God. The Lord says, you are man and not God. And speaking of the enemies, He says, they are men. And all of God's creatures are finite. They are limited. And as God says, you are going to die. You're dust and you're going to return to dust. And to keep us alive until that day that we do die, or our Savior comes to receive us to heaven, we have to pray to God, give us this day our daily bread. So think of that we are finite, we are mortal, that we are fallen and sinful and failing, and also we need to be sustained and withheld from sin by God, or we'll fall again. So that's the picture that you're painting of yourself when you pray this prayer. You're just thinking of what you want. But when you preach and when you pray, you tell things that are on your mind and you reveal what you actually are by nature. And so this is what we are. Do you remember that? And so the first thing is this. Give us this day our daily bread. Let me tell you something so interesting about one of the words here. It occurs only twice in the entire New Testament, in Matthew 6 and Luke 11. It's the word, give us this day our daily bread. What do you mean when you ask God to give you daily bread? You say, well, I don't know. Well, let me put a little thought in your mind. When manna came down from heaven every day, it was their daily bread. But this word epiousios, it can be translated, and those that are scholars look at it and translate it three ways. Give us this day our bread for today. And they also translate it, give us this day our bread for tomorrow. And they translate it, give us this day our needful bread, or the bread that we need to sustain us and keep us alive. And no one can tell with exactness what it means, but all of it is similar. Give us today our bread for today. A little different, give us today our bread for tomorrow. Give us this day our bread that is needful to sustain us and keep us alive. And so all of those things are legitimate translation. And we're praying to God about something that is absolutely essential. Now, what is so remarkable about this prayer is not only its brevity, but how little is requested when we pray. And what little is requested is so plain and so small. Think, there are some who, if they were given the privilege of asking God for what they wanted, the Lord Jesus has told us Well, why not ask God for these three things? Daily bread, forgiveness, and preservation from sin. You see how simple that first request is? You see how small, how plain, how insignificant it is. Give us this day our daily bread. You're asking God only for that which is basic. Have you found anything that pertains to luxuries, of glory, of the exaltation of man that is spoken of in that prayer? You say, not at all. And when it says, give us this day our daily bread, the Lord Jesus summarizes in this word that which is basic and essential to life, telling us that the other things that we want that will destroy us, if we insist on having them, they do not even come to his mind, and he does not put those things in our mouths to be asked for. Let me show you how simple and how small and insignificant what we pray for is, and yet all of that is what Paul tells us about in 1 Timothy 6. Turn there. 1 Timothy 6, verse 6. Some think that godliness is a way of gain. But verse 6 says, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, for neither can we carry anything out, but having food and raiment, we shall be therewith content. Now, this is as simple as what the Lord Jesus said. Having food and raiment or covering, we shall be content. Let us be content. Tell me, did you think that God wanted to fill your life with luxuries? He can if he chooses, and at times he allows that. But understand that when our Savior has us to pray, the only thing that we pray for is that which is absolutely essential. Because you'll find out that when he says, give us this day our daily bread, this is the word that is translated like a loaf of bread. What does that mean, that we're only asking for bread? That we do not want the fruit that God has caused to grow? That we do not want the animal food that God has told us that we can have? Well, of course we need these things. They are included in the word bread. And all the physical needs of life are condensed and put in this one word. Give us this day our daily bread. And the least that it can mean is food and raiment. Because you have to have that. If winter comes and you have no clothing, you freeze and you die. And if summer and harvest come and there is no food, then you starve to death and you die. And so our Savior knows that. And so when he prays, he teaches us to pray. He says, I know you have to have food, and I know you have to have raiment. You have to have a roof over your head. And at times, a roof over the head of some of the children of God has been a cave, has been some place that's simply a shelter in the woods. But it's food and covering. And let me tell you this. When God speaks of what a wife is supposed to be happy with, telling what the man has to supply her with, and he says if he sends her away, these three things are mentioned as being essential. He says he has to give her food, he has to give her raiment, and he has to give her duty of marriage. This is for a married man. And so the Lord says that the only thing a husband has to give a wife is something to eat, something to clothe her with, and affection. Physical, giving back to her what God made man and woman for. He shall be a help corresponding answering to. And so when a woman is sent away, these three things are the ones mentioned that it is absolutely essential that he provide her with. You have to give her food, you have to give her clothing, and you have to give her love and companionship, the duty of marriage. So think of that. If this is all that God gives us in life, we would be like those Israelites in the wilderness. And yet, understand, God in the wilderness had seen to it that their shoes and their clothing never wore out for 40 years. So he gave them covering. He gave them raiment. He saw to them that every day for the 40 years, manna came down from heaven. So he gave them bread from heaven. And so God gave them food and raiment, and he told them that here are the women, and you may have them as wives. And so these essentials in life he gave to Israel in the wilderness. But what happened is that our Savior said to pray, give us this day our daily bread. They finally told God, we are tired of this bread. Our soul loathes this light bread. We want meat. We want leeks and onions and garlic and fishes. Well, that's perfectly in order. If God sees fit to place you where all of these things are, but it never entered God's mind, and this is of such interest to me, never entered God's mind, humanly speaking, that they would need anything more or want anything more than that bread he sent them down from heaven. Isn't that strange? But man looks at it and he thinks of more that God should give, because in Egypt there was abundance of leeks and onions and garlic and melons and fishes and flesh pots, and all of us enjoy eating so very much. But just remember this, that God said, I'm going to give you bread, and I'm going to give you raiment, and I tell you the things that are yours to show you how much God placed upon the physical needs of man. He said that when a man married a woman, he was to give her a whole year comforting her and showing her love and understanding. You see those three things? And so if you have that physical companionship, which is of the heart, and food and covering, God says, that's all I thought about giving you. And yet man has thought of all these other things that God should give. And when they complain too much to God, God judges them for their wanting things that he never intended to come into their lives. Now, I'll quote you these verses. It says this in Luke chapter 12. On an occasion, a man came to the Lord Jesus and said, bid my brother divide the inheritance with me. And the Savior said, man, who made me a divider or a judge over you? And then he said, take heed and beware of all covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. This is the Hebrews 13. It says, let your manner of life be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he himself hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And then, telling about the very necessities of life, it says, I'll give you these necessities of life. And so I suppose, if God has kept me alive by giving me food to eat, and I may not be resplendent in dress, but he's kept me clothed, and he has given me Christian love and companionship and a wife, and those three things are the only things God has given, I should lift my heart to God and say, thank you. Great is thy faithfulness. But then we want more. But understand that God has only promised and put himself in the position of promising you these three things. And that is what the Lord Jesus says when we pray. Give us this day our daily bread. He mentions the least, the smallest, the simplest, the most insignificant. And that is what we pray to God for. Now, let me tell you about other things that Christ mentions that have been prayed for, and what happens when we pray for these things and God gives it. Turn to Psalm 106. I want you to see this. I'll show you two things that men pray for and God does not give, but I'm going to show you that at times men pray for things and God gives them those things. Psalm 106, verse 13. They soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. That's a verse that has been embedded in my mind, and I've never forgotten it. He gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. And I find in the Old Testament that men were asking for things that God never wanted them to have, and he had protests given to them that they should not ask for these things. He tried to discourage them, but when they insisted on having them, he gave them those things. But when he gave them the material things that they wanted, he gave them their request, but he sent leanness into their soul. Listen to this verse. It tells us that we as God's children are to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. And at times, if we insist on having these things, God gives us our request, but sends leanness into our soul. Now, listen again. Turn back to Matthew 6, because I want you to see even when Christ is speaking about people that are imperfect people, still in verse 31 of Matthew 6, let's hear what anxious people, people that are filled with anxiety, are saying. Verse 31, be not anxious, therefore, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Now, you see again, the three essentials. You have to have food and drink, and you have to have clothing, and some people are anxious about it. But now let me tell you some other things that Christ tells us elsewhere about our prayer. He tells us that when we pray, we are not to be anxious. He tells us, both in Matthew and in Mark, you'll find it in Mark 11, the word so plain. He said, when you pray, believe that you receive these things, and you shall have them. But now, they are concerned. They do not know if they're going to get them. And they say, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to put on? And that is a faithless utterance, because God has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And God says, I will give you food, and I will give you clothing, and also I will give you that love and companionship with my Son, and if necessary, I will give you a companion on earth. And so some of us are asking for things that God would not have us to have, and he allows them to come, but he sends leanness into our soul. Now, let me show you in Proverbs 30. Turn there, Proverbs chapter 30, because here is a man that restrains himself, and he prays this prayer to God before he prays.
to God.
Look at verse 7. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 7. Two things have I asked of thee. Deny me not them before I die. Remove me far from falsehood and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me. Now, why does he ask for those things alone? Look at verse 9. Lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and use profanely the name of my God. Will you remember that passage? Here is a man who knows about prayer. He knows what to ask for, and he knows what to tell God not to do for him. Because some people cannot contain these things. There are some who are rich, and they'll take those riches and help the needy of the world. And there are some who are rich, and they become, as it says here, they are full. They need nothing. Who is God? And at the same time, God is aware that if he doesn't give us enough, that we'll be poor and we'll be tempted to steal and then to curse the name of God because he has reduced me to where I have to steal to get something to eat. So you remember this when you're praying, and I must remember it exceedingly well, asking for all of these additional things, because just as Martha, she was anxious about many things, the Lord Jesus said, one thing is needful. And when the Lord was the host feeding thousands, I found this again and again. When you came to dinner to eat with Christ, he gave you some bread and he gave you some fish. And that was all. I would say, where's the dessert? But the Lord said, you have bread and you have fish. That is all. The feeding of the 4,000 as well as the 5,000. And then in John chapter 21, when the disciples came up to the shore, he had some fish cooking for them. You see how simple the provisions that Christ made for his own? Now, we can get spoiled, and then we wonder and we doubt the goodness and generosity of God when we do not have abundance. But remember, it's just like the Lord in Matthew chapter 20 said, when those that worked for him at the end of the day, when they got paid, they were dissatisfied. Those that had made an agreement with him said, we'll work for you if you pay us the going wage, a penny a day. And the Lord said, that is what I will pay you. And so when it came to the end of the day, the Lord said, here is the going wage, what you agreed with me for. And they said, we want more than that, because some have done less work than we, and they're getting as much money as we are getting. The Lord said, did you not agree with me for a penny a day? Here is what you agreed with me for. And when you trusted Christ as Savior, he said, I will give you food, I will give you raiment, and I will give you compassion. I will love you as a father, and you may love me as my child. I will give you these three essentials in life. And he did not promise us anymore. When one man came to the Lord Jesus and said, I will follow you whithersoever you go. And the Lord Jesus said, I want you to understand that if you follow me, what limitations you may expect. The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And you remember that day when the Lord Jesus arose in the morning and he had not had breakfast and he went looking for something to eat on a fig tree. And so the Lord Jesus himself had food and raiment And at times, he had not where to lay his head, but he slept on the mountaintop. And yet, the Lord Jesus never complained. And so, I'm afraid now, because God has given me abundance of food and raiment and possessions in life. And if they are not good enough and I want more, it may very well be that if I insist on them, they will come, but sending this into your soul. And unless I rethink what he promised me, if I trust his son, his savior, and follow him, and I start thinking what's missing in my life, and ask myself the question, should this be there? But I see that the Lord Jesus did not promise it. Then I've become like that man at the end of the day, when God gives me the going wage, what I agreed with him on, and I look at him and I say, it's not enough. And so the Savior would have us to remember that. So when he teaches us to pray, he tells us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. And every material need is summed up in this, about which I will tell you on another occasion. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we pray that you shall forgive us for looking upon life in a way that your Son never taught us, that you, our Father, never taught us. But you have been so good to us and given such abundance that we have become spoiled. But let us remember and let us thank you as your Son thanked you when there were 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and he lifted his eyes to heaven and gave thanks to his Father. And so, our God, for the food and drink in abundance that you've given us this day, for what health and strength we do have that you've given us this day, and also for that desire to be here with the people of God, we thank you. And so, with what you have done for us, our God, we say, great is thy faithfulness. We thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.